So tonight, we're starting a new series titled Every Job a Parable. And my thought is that we all long to do good work. We all long to do work that matters. And as Christians, we especially want to do work that matters to God. But can God reveal himself to us through our work? And can our work reveal God to others? Those are the two questions we want to explore in this series. We want to discover how every job can actually be a parable, a literal parable, spoken by Jesus to us, to others. But I find our problem is often that isn't the message that we're told. The attitude often that we catch in our culture is that work is something to be avoided, right? Something to be endured. We dream of winning the lottery. We are supposed to long for retirement because then we don't have to work anymore. And sometimes for some Christians at some churches, the messages that we receive aren't so helpful either. Maybe you've walked into a church and you've been told, hey, make sure your work doesn't become your identity. And that's true. We're meant to be children of God and followers of Jesus first. But maybe sometimes you're left with, well, what does that mean about my faith and work? Maybe you hear a sermon on, the fruits of the Spirit. And so you go away thinking the best way to be a Christian at work is to exhibit love and peace and patience and, gentleness and self-control. Maybe you attend a Bible study. Maybe you attend our Bible studies on evangelism. And so you walk away thinking, hey, the best thing I can do at work is look for opportunities to talk about Jesus or minister to a coworker. Or maybe your heart has been moved recently by all the attention on social justice. And maybe you're sitting at your desk wondering, hey, did I choose the wrong career? Like, how does being an ICBC worker, how does being a custom signs designer change our broken world? And those are all good things. And those are all things that we should be thinking about in our work. But is there more to it? Where is God in my work? How can my work, the actual work itself, be a parable to others? And the solution, I think, is the greater vocational imagination. So all those things I'd said earlier are good, but on top of that, we also need to ask this question: how can I have a greater vocational imagination about my job? So how do we do that? How do we develop a vocational imagination? Well, two parts. One, we need to make sense. We can only make sense of these questions by first making sense of the story that we're in. And then two, we need to grow our understanding of the character and nature of the work of God, because that will provide us with the context and the foundation for our own work. So first, the story we find ourselves in. If we don't get the story right, we get the response wrong, right? So we better understand the story we're in. That's why we need to be Bible readers. This is why we have core groups and why we press upon you that it's so important to know the big story of Scripture. The big story of Scripture can be summarized this way: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Creation, God makes all things. Fall, sin distorts all things. In redemption, Jesus, God is saving all things. And then restoration, our future hope, is that God will make all things new. So each one of these chapters affects how we understand our work. In creation, we see that God, the creator, actually creates work, and he works, and he's given us to do. In the fall, we see that sin has distorted all things, and therefore the extent and it affects the effectiveness of our work. Because of Jesus and redemption, we also get to partner with God in redemptive work. And then finally, restoration, we get to partner with God in making all things new. So that's how the story affects our work. And that's what we want to look at over these next 4 weeks. We're going to look at these four themes in regard to our work. And tonight, I just want to say a few more things about creation and how the creation narrative, what it has to say about our work. When we've been reading the book of Genesis in our core groups, and I love this book, and there's so many foundational things in Genesis that alert us to how things were intended. And when we read in Genesis, the creation story, we see that God worked. After God spent 6 days creating, we read, and on the seventh day, God finished the work he had done. He'd rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work of creating he had done. You know, it's right there, right in the beginning. God worked. But we also learn that God's work is creative, right? We learn that the world is the work of an artisan. The world didn't happen by accident. The world is a masterpiece of a master craftsman. And, you know, sometimes people ask themselves, like, you know, I don't think I'm creative. Like, you know, in the room here, there's, you know, lots of creative people. And we are very easily identify them, right? But the reality is we're all created in God's image. And so we all have that creative tendency in us. There's not a child that we ever expect not to be creative. You go to a restaurant and what do? They put a placemat in front of a child and they give them crayons and they say, go at it, right? It's only when we get old that for some reason we don't think that we're creative. As a pastor for a while, I wasn't sure what my creative art was. And then I kind of realized that it's I create with words all the time. So, you know, there's lots of vocations out there that are obviously creative vocations, artists, writers, producers, musicians, etc. But guess what? Engineers, electricians, builders, they create function. Accountants, data processors, information technologists, you know, they're creating order. And so you can see how if the more you think of it, the more you expand your vocational imagination, you'll see that there's more creativity happening in our world than maybe we thought at first. And then third thing that we notice in Genesis is that God delights in his work. So he works, it's creative work, but he delights in it. We see this, we read this repeating refrain, right? After every day, it's God calls his work good. He calls it good. He delights in his work. Work is not an evil thing that came because of the fall or sin. Work is not beneath God, right? So no matter what job we find ourselves in, we should be able to delight in it. Okay, let's pause right there. Like that alone should spur us on. Like that alone, if we're made in God's image and we just learned that about God, that alone should help us. But the cool thing is in the Genesis narrative and the creation narrative, we're told a lot about the kind of God actually has given us to do. In verse 15 of chapter 2, it says that the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Work it, or another translation would be till it and take care of it. So God didn't create human beings to be slaves. That's not this narrative. That's other creation narratives. But he calls us to be his regents in the world, our co-creators. He gives us a task of actually working and taking care of his good creation. Now, again, so caretaking, right away, that vocation we might be able to kind of spur our imaginations on and think, oh, yeah, environmentalists, biologists, food, you know, agricultural scientists. You know, it's easy to think of the care industry of like doctors and nurses and, you know, care workers and physiotherapists and, right? Maybe you can even think a little bit differently of like counselors and mediators. And maybe you're at the gym a lot, so you think of like personal, you know, like there's all these people who care for creation and care for human beings. That might be an easy one for us to think about. And most jobs involve people, so we usually can sort of think about caring for others in our jobs. But what about cultivating the world? Like, are we all called to be farmers? Should everyone have a garden? Yes, you should. But It says that God calls us to be cultivators. We're called to work it, to till it. And what does that tell us? But it tells us that actually what God created, he expects us to amplify, right? To cultivate, to, you know, create more of, to thrive. And even in Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, we're told the importance. He says, no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. He actually, in creation, built this expectation that we would be part of that, making it fruitful. So yes, of course, God brings the rain, and the earth will not, and it won't yield fruit without that. God is the one that does the growing, but there's also this partnership that he expected us to be the ones tilling the ground. What the Genesis narrative is saying is that human involvement is indispensable. So I want to end with this story. Every job of parable, that the title of our series is actually, I stole it. from a book title. And it was a book written by a man named Pastor John Van Stolten, who's a pastor in Calgary. A friend of mine kind of put me on his book, and I've really appreciated it. In his book, he spent the last 10, 15 years just interviewing congregant members, interviewing other Christians about this topic, and asking them about how they see God in their work. And I guess he got an opportunity to interview a guy named Sam Colias, who is the CEO of one of Canada's largest residential landlord companies. And he read that he was a man of faith. So he thought, hey, why not interview this guy who is, you know, has had a lot on his plate to steward. And he was excited to talk to him about, because after all, our world belongs to God and we're all God's tenants. So, you know, he wondered to himself, like, how will this guy express how he experiences God through his work. And as he interviewed him, you know, it was kind of what we might expect, that this man talked about, you know, practicing the golden rule at work. And he talked about sharing his Christian values in the company. And he talked about his, you know, charity work and how the company allows him to do some of those kind of things. And at one point in the interview, I guess, he has three screens in front of him, and on one of the screens, he types up, he wants to look up a quote by Mother Teresa. And so Pastor, looking at these three screens, couldn't help wonder, what does that one quote have to do with the other screens? On these screens were financial data and graphs and charts and, you know, like him managing this huge company. And he just wondered, hey, how do these things relate? And so as he began to talk to this person, Sam, he affirmed him. And, you know, I think it's really cool how you've pursued your passion. You are bringing Christian values to the company. You're even allowing, the company is allowing you to even do charitable work. But he said, I wonder what it would look like for you to see your job as a parable. And he said, you know what? God has given humanity a home. And your work as a landlord to thousands of people actually reflect God's home providing heart. And he took it further. He said, you know what? You're an entrepreneur, right? Like, your entrepreneurial activity, the idea of like making something out of nothing, that's what entrepreneurs do, right? He said, that's actually what God does. And you're kind of like imitating God in that way. He said, you know, you lead this huge team of people who manage all these large systems enabling residents to live safely and in peace. That actually mirrors the Holy Spirit's leadership and how the Holy Spirit is providentially holding like our planet together. And here's my hope, guys. Here's my hope is that you too would begin to develop a vocational imagination, that you begin to develop that muscle over this next month, that you would see your future work and maybe even your present work as a parable. Okay, so what I want to do now is I'm going to turn it over interview portion of the night. And this is a special thing we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. Each week we've invited a guest to share with us about these two questions. How does God reveal himself to us through our work? How can our work reveal God to others? So let me pass it over to Aiden, as she introduces to us her dad.
Awesome. I was so excited to introduce my dad to you guys and hear more about his work and how he sees God in his work. So I will just pass it off to him right away with this first question. So can you just tell us a bit about yourself, your work, and kind of what it looks like?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Aiden. My work describes me as a UX designer, UX user interface designer, and user experience designer. So that's what I do now. I've had many roles over the time, but I primarily focus on designing web applications and mobile applications for various companies. I do my work through my own company, but I contract primarily to an agency, a design agency in LA. And that's what I do on a day to day.
No, that's awesome. So when you were a young adult, similar to us, just graduated and considering like what kind of job you were going to do for a living, did you think about how your work would matter to God? Was that something you thought about?
Yeah, not at first. I think when I went to university, I went to Dort University in Sioux Center, Iowa. I was there on an exchange program from the Free University of Amsterdam. I was just going to go for a year to have some fun. I came, I wasn't a great student in high school, so I needed a break from all the education. So I picked to go, or my actually my dad picked to go have me go to a university and spend some time there away from the Netherlands. So so my first year was a very interesting year. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had no idea how God had gifted me in my work or in my abilities. So I had no idea. I knew I had some strengths. So I kind of honed in on those things. So one was I took a business course. That necessarily wasn't my strength, but that's my dad's been in business for his whole life. So he wanted to have his boys in business. So I was mandated to take a business course. So I took a marketing course. I took a math course because I was really good at math and didn't know where that could lead me to, but thought that would be an easy one. So have more time having fun. The last one is I picked a course in art, and I vaguely remembered in my younger years that I was a good drawer, and but hadn't done that throughout my high school years, and I was intrigued by it, so I took a drawing course. And at the end of that year, the art prof came to me and said, "Jaco, you should really consider to make your major." Obviously I realized at that moment in time that God had gifted me this gift of art. But now I had to tell my parents, who didn't want me there at all in the first place. So I ended up deciding to stay at Dort and complete my studies at Dort College or Dort University in fine arts and minored in communication arts. So that kind of got me started on the path of my design career that I've had over the last 30 years. Yeah. So
that's cool. It helped that you met mom. And so you wanted
to. Yes. Yeah, I met your mom. And we stayed for a year there, but then we moved to Canada. You know, I grabbed at all opportunities. I started my career in the printing business. I was interned quite quickly in my second year of university with that business and continued with them throughout my university years. And then ended up having a job there. But I realized there was a whole new world out there of new media that was happening. You know, websites were being created and CD, interactive CD-ROMs. And so in the evenings, I created my own CD-ROM and that became my resume that I handed out in all the top interactive companies in Calgary. And that in my first day landed me a job right away. Now I couldn't take that job, but because I wasn't allowed to work in Canada yet. So then mom and I decided to move up to Canada and start our life there. And we ended up in Calgary.
That's awesome. So now thinking about your work and just previous jobs and the work that you're doing now, what has God revealed to you about himself through your work?
It's an interesting question because it's pretty large. My first answer, it's a journey. God reveals himself in moments of your life when you need him. When you need to make tough decisions on where to live or what job to pick, God reveals himself through those. God reveals himself in challenging time at work when you're trying to solve problems or when clients are upset. So there's different moments in time when we journey with God and God's revealing his truth to you. So that's, I think, the first thing is this: there's not one revelation he does give me, or at least he hasn't given me that. He's continuing to reveal himself to me and to this day. Also knowing that that he's active in the workplace. Often as Christians, I call myself a biological Christian because I was born into it. I was forced to go to church many, many times. But committed my own life to Jesus in my first year of university. He is super active in the world. And we often forget that, we see the pastor, we see James as the pinnacle to go towards. And if we want to serve our Lord, like, we need to become a pastor or a missionary. And those are held in high regard, and they should be. But God has gifted us in many, many different ways. And so he wants us in the different places within his world to affect change. And I see him actually in the very, the large businesses that I've over the years have worked for. A couple of companies that I remember is Splunk. Splunk creates a Google-like analytics data view of companies, of their operations. And I helped design their business flow application. And, they're not a Christian organization. They're a company. There's 7,000 people working there. They're downtown San Francisco. It's a massive place. But through what they're doing, you can see God's fingers in it all. And people don't realize that, obviously, if they're non-believers, but as believers, always look for those fingers at work, and hone into those beautiful things. Obviously, there's, you know, there's opportunities for us to come in and affect change, where we see things that can that a particular company can do better. But I think first and foremost, we need to know that God is already at work there, and you know, He's not dependent upon us to make that work happen. But He wants us to join in to what He's doing. So I think that's kind of the essence of it, in many ways for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And so how have you imagined God or put God on display through your work?
Yeah. Obviously I'm a creative guy, right? So, so I think in a practical sense, I create beauty, or at least I think I create beauty for my clients. My clients are happy, and it warms, yeah, it gives a great feeling to you as a designer that you've helped a company move forward. So that's really just kind of, you know, practical, a result of how we can serve or image God in the work that we do. Obviously, it's, you know, God's a very relational God, so we have to be relational. And the design world has actually really opened up. Previously, when I worked for an advertising agency, you know, you have the kind of creative director, and you have art directors, and you have designers, and then you have production artists at the bottom. That's where I started, and then I kind of worked my way up. It's very kind of top down heavy, but today's world is the whole design world has opened up, at least on the user interface design. So you cannot do this on your own anymore. So that's the beauty of it today with today's technology, like an application called Figma. I design in Figma all the time. And it's like Zoom when we're meeting, you know, here. But they can look over my shoulder as I design, and they can leave me comments, and they can come and join my design sessions and design for them themselves. So it's a very collaborative effort. And I see God in those things, right? We can image God in those things, as I do my work. I think listening is the big thing, or a piece of character that God instills in you. Sometimes we don't listen enough to people, so we can't hone in on what the need is, in many ways. And so the other things are, you know, the basic answers, like James already said, your integrity and the quality of work that you're doing, kind of speaks to, that you are a different person. But to hone in on the different person side is that we really are ambassadors, of Christ, right? We bear His image each and every day. So how we respond to people in our work and in our relationships reflects our Creator, and need to reflect our Creator. So this does not come easy in many times, because, you know, times can get really tough sometimes. As you're aware, Aiden, I lost my job 3 years ago. I started a marketing company here in Vernon, and it failed after a year, and I had to give it up. I started working at a company in Kelowna called Sportco, and helped them design a new app. But then after a year of that, they ran out of money. So they had to close their doors and lay us off. And so as much as you, you know, when things are good and you, when you're serving people, you feel like you're doing good. But when the tough times are there, it's more, even more important that you instill or reflect a relationship with God, to stay and remain patient, to know that he's got this, that he's in control of these things, that he has plans for you, and for us to really just at that moment in time be grounded in his word and in prayer, and to be willing to be guided by that. So that's kind of hopefully answers the question.
It totally does. Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. And like, it's really, I've heard you share about this lots personally, but it's so cool. And I'm sure so many students, yeah, here are hopefully encouraged by what you had to share. It's something that I admire about you, is just your passion to bring faith into your job. So why don't I pray to close, and then we're going to just send everybody into their breakout rooms for some discussion. Father God, thank you for tonight, and just that we that we could come together and talk about this integration of faith and work. God, I just thank you for Yako and his dedication to you and the way that he desires to serve you in his work. And God, I just pray that for all these students here who are on the path towards this, you know, this vocation in mind, God, would you just instill in them first and foremost this desire to serve you and this desire to just lay their life down for you, no matter what job they're doing, no matter where you place them and what comes their way. Would they just see you in a very integrated and full way in their life? Be with us tonight and bless our discussion together. Amen.